Punjabi
Hari.
Punjabi
Hari.
Gopi Ganga Balabam Giri Balabai.
Gopi Ganga Balabam Giri Balabai.
Gopi Ganga Balabam Giri Balabai. Yasoda nandana vacha chana vandana. Yamuna chiravana chari. Yamuna chiravana chari. Punjabi Hari. Kalyana Madhava Punjabi Hari. Gopi Ganga Balabha Giri Balabhari.
Gopi Ganga Balabha
Giri Balabhari. Gopi Ganga Yasodanandana 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 Yamuna Chiravana Chari. Yamuna Chiravana Chari. Gopi Ganga Balabha Giri Balabhari. Yasodanandana Yamuna Chivavanna Sai Yamuna Chivavanna Sai Shishuvad Madhava Ki Jai Shivare Sham Ki Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Do I have to wear the mask?
No.
No, could I? I had the vaccination. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, Text Number 27. Ya sakat parato beha
Chata
nirveda atmavan
Kriti
kritva harim gehat Pravrachet sanarottama Ya sakat parato beha Chata nirveda atmavan Kriti kritva harim gehat Pravrachet sanarottamaha Ya sakat parato beha Chata nirveda atmavan Kriti kritva harim gehat Pravrachet sanarottama
Yeah.
Shivaya Prabhujasa Narottama. Anyone who? Svakat. By his own awakening. Paratava. Or by hearing from another. Iha. Here in this world. Jata. Becomes. Nirveda. Indifferent to material attachment. Atmavan. Consciousness, Priti, within the heart, Kritva, having been taken by, Harim, the personality of Godhead, Gehat, from home, Pravrajet, goes away, Sa, he is, Nara Uttamaha, the first class human being. Translation. He is certainly a first class man who awakens and understands either by himself or from others the falsity and misery of this material world and thus leaves home and depends fully on the personality of Godhead residing within his heart. Got the wrong person to give this class. We need a sannyasi for this one. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are three classes of transcendentalists, namely, one, the dira, or the one who is not disturbed by being away from family association. Two, one in the renounced order of life, a sannyasi by frustrated sentiment. And three, a sincere devotee of the Lord who awakens God consciousness by hearing and chanting, and he also leaves home depending completely on the personality of Godhead who resides in his heart. The idea is that the renounced order of life, after a frustrated life of sentiment in the material world, may be the stepping stone on the path of self-realization. But real perfection of the path of liberation is attained when one is practiced to depend fully on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who lives in everyone's heart as Paramatma. One may live in the darkest jungle alone out of home, but a steadfast devotee knows very well that he is not alone. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is with him, and he can protect his sincere devotee in any awkward circumstance. One should therefore practice devotional service at home, hearing and chanting the holy name, quality, form, pastimes, entourage, etc., in association with pure devotees, and this practice will help one awaken God consciousness in proportion to one's sincerity of purpose. One who desires material benefit by such devotional activities can never depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he sits in everyone's heart. Nor does the Lord give any direction to persons who worship him for material gain. Such materialistic devotees may be blessed by the Lord with material benefits, but they cannot reach the stage of the first-class human being, as above mentioned. There are many examples of such sincere devotees in the history of the world, especially in India, and they are our guides on the path of self-realization. Mahatma Vidura is one such great devotee of the Lord, and we should all try to follow in his lotus footsteps for self-realization. So the verse again. He is certainly a first-class man who awakens and understands either by himself or from others the falsity and misery of this material world, and thus leaves home and depends fully on the personality of Godhead residing within his heart. Om Agyana Tumandasya Ganandaram Shlakaya Chakshura Malitam Yenitasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, there are many different types of individuals who are Krishna conscious, and of course Srila Prabhupada does say very often that one should leave home and take sannyas with many instructions to that effect. maybe more than one could stay at home if one's Krishna conscious, as far as I remember anyway. There's more that you should take sannyas. But at the same time, you know, it's not compulsory. Although he says it is compulsory, actually. Prabhupada says it is compulsory. But if we look at different individuals, everyone's an individual, and people are put into different situations. Like Srila Prabhupada himself, he wanted to preach, and even before he left home, he was leaving home for long periods of time to try to do business, and also later on, even before he left home completely, he was going to preach in different places, and his business wasn't going well, and you know, he was only going home every few months, and his wife, she had moved to her parents' house because her father wasn't really happy with Bhaktivedanta, with Srila Prabhupada, because he was neglecting them. He was having a hard time making money. His heart wasn't into it. Although he had a flourishing business at one time, but everything collapsed. And he quoted that verse, Yasya Ha Manigrinami, that when Krishna favors you, he takes everything away. So, and then he had a couple of dreams which were petrifying for him. Very scary, that he should take sannyas. So it seems like he didn't really want to take sannyas, because otherwise why would the dreams be horrifying for him? So he had the dreams where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati came to him and told him to take sannyas. And then his uncle, spiritual father, what's his name? Keshava? Pragyan Keshava? Pragya Keshava, Bhakti Pragya Keshava. He said, well, if you want to preach, you have to be a sannyasi. So, I guess that was also Krishna's arrangement so that he would take sannyas, because we'd seen from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that you don't have to really be a sannyasi. But Krishna's plan for Srila Prabhupada was that he took sannyas. And so, when he, you know, he was thinking that he should, but the straw that broke the camel's back was when his wife gave away his Bhagavatam for some tea biscuits. And so then, you know, because the merchants would come and they would give you, they would have a scale and you would put something on one side of the scale and they would give you something of equal weight on the other side of the scale. I don't know how it worked, the Prabhupada says it. So she put the Bhagavatam on one side and then the merchant put the cookies on, not the cookies, the tea biscuits, tea, you know, British. Because tea was introduced into India by the British, like cigarettes. And of course the British really exploited India to the max. You know, got them addicted to cigarettes, got them addicted to tea, huge business, and then they started manufacturing cotton in the miserable place called Manchester. You probably heard of Manchester United football team. Anyway, it's a miserable place. It's a hellish city. Terrible weather, but the weather was suitable for having these cotton mills. There was one poet, William Blake, he wrote a song about, he was a famous poet, and he was an artist too, but he wrote this poem about those dark satanic mills and did those feet. Anyway, he was aware of how those cotton mills were demoniac. Anyway, so the tea biscuits, this is all very proper, to have tea at 4 o'clock in the afternoon with the tea biscuits. So they would have their tea, and when his wife, Radharani, gave away his Bhagavatam, that was it. So he left home for good. He said, I'm going now. And he'd said that so many times before, because he would go off on his business expeditions for several months at a time. But this time he meant it, and he never came back. So that's how Prabhupada left home. But we also have in the Bhagavatam, which as we know, Krishna is Dhammo Bhagate Dhamma Gyanam Bhisaha, that in this age we get light from the shining Purana. So the Bhagavatam is also our guiding principle in life. So Bhagavatam explains the story of Swayambhuva Manu. And Swayambhuva Manu, he was one of the Manus. And the Manus live for an incredibly long time. They live for 71 times 4,300,000 years, which is a long, long, long time. And he never took sannyas. It's described how Swayambhuva Manu, he was the emperor of the world, and as you'd expect from the emperor of the world, he was surrounded in incredible luxury and opulence and incredible palaces and everything else. But in his palaces, this is described that after he dropped off Devahuti with Kadava Muni, got rid of his daughter in a nice way, but he went back home to his palace, and every day in his palace there was such a spiritual atmosphere. Prabhupada explains that there was constant devotional activities. There was music played by shanais in the morning, and then recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there was kirtan. So every palace, his palace specifically, had a temple. Prabhupada talks about how the king of Rajasthan, Man Singh, he had a temple in his palace. So all the great Maharajas, actually any wealthy man, even in India nowadays, you go to any business in India, they'll have some place of worship in their business, either in a back room or there right in the shop. There's some shrine. So this is India. India has so many holy places. 2 million temples in India. So anyway, Swayambhuva Manu, he got his daughter married to Kardama Muni. And Kardama Muni, he was a great sage. And he had this desire for association with the opposite sex. And so he was looking for a wife, and because he was very qualified, Swayambhuva Manu appeared, and they offered Devahuti. So Devahuti and Kadamuni, they got married. And then when they got married, Kadamuni, he had been very renounced. And so Devahuti was trying to follow in his footsteps as a devoted wife. She became very emaciated and very raggedly dressed and very austere life. And then she wanted to have some progeny. So at that time, her husband said, okay, I'll fulfill your desires. So then he created this amazing aerial mansion, which I'm going to read a description of because it's so amazing. Over Dura, seeking to please his beloved wife, the sage Kadam exercised his yogic power and instantly produced an aerial mansion that could travel at his will. It was a wonderful structure bedecked with all sorts of jewels, adorned with pillars of precious stones, and capable of yielding whatever one desired. It was equipped with every form of furniture and wealth, which tended to increase in the course of time. The castle was fully equipped with all necessary paraphernalia, and it was pleasing in all seasons. It was decorated all around with flags, festoons, and artistic work of variegated colors. It was further embellished with wreaths of charming flowers that attracted sweetly humming bees, and with tapestries of linen, silk, and various other fabrics. The palace looked charming, with beds, couches, fans, and seats, all separately arranged in seven stories. Its beauty was enhanced by artistic engravements here and there on the walls. The floor was of emerald with coral daisies. The palace was very beautiful with its coral thresholds at the entrances, and its doors bedecked with diamonds, gold, and pinnacles crowned its domes of sapphire. With the choicest rubies set in its diamond walls. Diamond walls, wow. That's amazing. They must have had some big diamonds. Well, I heard this story about Hiranyakashipu's earring, and it turned out to be a huge mountain. It appears as though possessed of eyes. It was furnished with wonderful canopies and greatly valuable gates of gold. Here and there in that palace were multitudes of live swans and pigeons, as well as artificial swans and pigeons, so lifelike that the real swans rose above them again and again, thinking them like live birds like themselves. Thus the palace vibrated with the sounds of these birds. The castle had pleasure grounds, resting chambers, bedrooms, and inner and outer yards designed with an eye for comfort. All this caused astonishment to the sage himself. Wow. When he saw Devahuti looking at the gigantic opulent palace with a displeased heart, Kadamuni could understand her feelings because she could study the heart of anyone. Thus he personally addressed his wife as follows. So then he, because she was very skinny and not very attractive, and so he made her bathe in this life reviving lake. And she was served by thousands of damsels, and then she was dressed and decorated very beautifully. She became exquisitely attractive. And then Kadama Muni and Devahuti, they enjoyed the pleasures of the flesh. And actually it's described how Kadama Muni, he expanded himself into nine different forms just to satisfy his wife. And so nine daughters were born. And because she was dissatisfied because she didn't have a son. And then the Supreme Lord, he started speaking to Kardama. And he said, okay, I'm going to become your son. And then Kapila was born, Kapila Muni. He was an incarnation of the Lord. And when he was born, Kardama Muni felt relieved of his household duties. So he wanted to take sannyas. So then he took sannyas. And he was very happy that he was able to fulfill his desires, and then he could go into the forest. Of course, nowadays, if you take sannyas, it means it's more likely you're going to have to go into the city. It's a different thing nowadays. Originally, in Indian culture, you would go into the forest, but now, if you take sannyas, you have to go where the people are. Because sannyas, in this day and age, means preaching. And so it's very difficult if you hate cities like I do. Of course, Prabhupada said, you know, preaching in the snows of Russia is sweeter than the best mango. So preaching is the essence, but at the same time, you know, sannyasis nowadays, they have to really go to the cities to preach. Unless you have a nice farm community, like Shiva Maharaj, you can bring people to your farm. That's ideal. Then you get the best of both worlds. So, he took sannyas. Then, in the line of talking about people that become detached from the home, we also have the story of Pururava. So Pururava was also the emperor of the world, and his wife was Urvasi, and she was a reluctant wife because she preferred to be in the heavenly planets. But Pururava, he became attracted to her and he begged her to enjoy with him. So she came to the earth planet to enjoy with him, and she set certain conditions that, you know, if you do this or that, I'm going to leave you. So she left him ultimately, and he was lamenting like anything. And then he begged her to come back. She came back for a short time, then she went away. And so in the 11th canto we have the instructions of Krishna. Uddhava Gita, instructions to Uddhava, he's talking about, he's actually relating the story of Pururava, of how, you know, detachment is a very important or essential item of spiritual life, to become detached. So he's talking about Pururava, how Pururava, he was so heartbroken when Urvasi left him. And he was chastising himself, you know, he came to his senses. Out of his lamentation, he came to his senses. And he realized that, I'm such a fool. And then he started criticizing himself. I'm such a fool. He said, what difference is there between an ordinary worms and persons who try to enjoy this material body composed of skin, flesh, blood, muscle, fat, marrow, bone, stool, urine, and pus. That's what he said. He's preaching to himself, I'm such a fool. So, anyway, he convinced himself to be happy that he was now detached from Urvasi. And so this is, you know, he even said, to hell with me, I don't know what is even good for me. So this is a very important kind of mentality to develop, is to become very self-critical, that if we, whatever situation we're in, we should see the flaws in it, because in every situation there may be some benefit, but there's always some flaw. So we have to try to be very conscious of every, well, not to fall into illusion. Like if you're happily married, you have to always realize that's a very temporary situation. It can be taken away at any moment. And that the danger is that if you think of your wife, your husband, at the time of death, you will have to take birth again. Because Krishna says, Yam yam vapi smaram pavam tajayati anta kelevaram tam 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 evaita kunti asadatta bhavi bhavitaha. Now, whatever you think of at the time of death, that state you will attain without fail. So we're trying to train our minds to become detached. Of course, the chanting of Hare Krishna is automatically the religious principle for this age. So Krishna is descending the Kali-Kale Namarupa Krishna Avatar. Krishna is descending in the form of his holy name. So if we chant the holy name, the trouble is we have to make sure that we're chanting the holy name properly, because sometimes we're a bit negligent about chanting properly. I heard a very nice, interesting thing that Jayapataka Maharaj did. This is when he first became a sannyasi. That he went around recording everybody with their chanting their japa. And he said, we should listen to how you chant to show that you're chanting properly. Because sometimes you hear devotees chant, and they're definitely not chanting the Maha Mantra. They're chanting something, but it's not Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's very important to pronounce the words properly. So in the Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami, he talks about one who carefully chants the holy name. And then he's talking about, you know, the famous verse, Tunde Tandavali, how much nectar is in the holy name. So the holy name has the power to purify the heart, so that even in the beginning the holy name tastes like poison, but gradually it will taste like nectar. Just when you eat, just like when you eat, Prabhupada said, prasadam should be so good that you can't stop eating. So if one ever became very advanced, maybe you are, I know I'm not, but when you chant, the holy name tastes like nectar, like the best prasadam. So that's a very advanced stage. And when you can chant like that, then you can chant many, many rounds. So I know Shiva Ramaraj, sometimes he chants 192 rounds in a day. Because he's got a real taste. I mean, he doesn't go around bragging about it, but I know for a fact that he does that sometimes. So that's pretty advanced. Of course, we know Haridas Thakur, he would do the same. But he's a Namacharya. So, but then we have to, if we don't have that taste, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to just give up and say, well, it doesn't work? I knew one devotee. He had been a devotee for 7 or 8 years, and, you know, he was chanting, and it was laborious for him, and he said, screw this, this doesn't work, and he left the next day. So we don't want to be like that. We have to have faith. So we see from the story of the Brahmin who was illiterate that actually if you follow the order of the spiritual master, then you will get the result. So that Prabhupada mentions that verse, Yasadeva Parabhakta Yatade Deva Tathagaro Tasyaiti Tasyaiti Katapya. Anyway, so very important verse. That when the illiterate Brahmin, people were criticizing him and saying, he can't even read. He looks foolish. He's got the Bhagavad Gita, he can't even read. But he didn't care what people thought, because he was completely in ecstasy. He was crying, His body was trembling. He was completely happy and satisfied. So when Lord Chaitanya, he saw this, then he went to talk to him. Because Lord Chaitanya didn't like smart Brahmins or puffed up Sanskrit scholars. But this humble devotee, who was completely illiterate, he was reading the whole Bhagavad Gita, 18 chapters. How would you read 18 chapters if you're illiterate? But that's what it says. It's amazing. Huh? So, Lord Chaitanya said, well, this is wonderful. You have realized the complete conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. So what are you thinking of when you're reading, when you're not reading? So he said, I'm just thinking of Krishna. And Krishna is so beautiful, and he's got his blue, beautiful blue form, and he's instructing Arjuna, and, you know, I'm just becoming overwhelmed because Krishna is so kind. And then Lord Chaitanya, he actually embraced him, and he spent 3 months with him. Just imagine, Lord Chaitanya personally. I mean, Lord Chaitanya, he was so attractive. Wherever he would go, thousands of people would congregate just to see him, because he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And his main, most attractive feature was his beauty. He has, you know, we know Bhagavan has six opulences, but his most attractive opulence is his beauty. So you could be wealthy and not beautiful, no one's that attracted. You can be famous, not beautiful, but if you're beautiful and you don't have any of the others, you're very attractive. So Lord Chaitanya, he had all the opulences, but his beauty conquered everyone. So thousands of people, just by seeing him, they became devotees. So he converted South India from other types of philosophies, Mayavad philosophy and personalism. He converted them to be devotees. So he spent 3 months with the illiterate Brahmin, and he said, your understanding is perfect. So this is the point, is that if we have faith in the words of the spiritual master, if we have faith in the holy name, if we read the books, of course, there's that famous verse. Well, it's not so famous, but I like the verse. It's how's it going? About how? No, he won't know that one. Do you know that one, Pran? About how one can run with your eyes closed and never trip or fall. How's it going? Anyway, you could. Yanastayana ro raja napamijit na kaichit tavanivulinametri naskalin napate diha. It's a very nice verse. It says that even when running with your eyes closed, a devotee will never trip or fall. So that means that if a devotee doesn't read much, but if he's a devotee, if he's really devoted, then he will be successful. Of course, you know, we do want to become enlightened. We want to be able to preach to people. We want to be able to meditate on Krishna's activities, so therefore we have to read, unless you're so blessed by the Guru that you understand the purport of the Gita without being able to read. But to have faith in the order of the spiritual master, 16 rounds a day, why not 16,000 rounds a day, Prabhupada said. So, you know, we have to have this faith, and then gradually, whether we become sannyasi or we remain at home, Everyone has a different situation, but we simply have to carry on even when we think that this is not, we're not going to be successful. We have to carry on anyway. This is faith that we see from the examples of the acharyas. They all, every single one of them, say they have no taste for chanting the holy name. But then we see later on in their writings, they get their sarup and their maid servants. They're doing some service for Radha Krishna. They can see the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But you know, we have to have faith, even when it's difficult. So I'll finish there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any other question?
That verse you quoted, what book is that from?
Where is it from? About running with your eyes closed?
Yes.
It's from the 11th canto. Yanastaya Naro Rajan. You can look it up. Yan Astaya. Any other questions, comments, corrections, reflections?
This Kardama Muni, you said he expanded himself 9 times.
Can you speak up a little bit?
Kardama
Muni. He expanded
Muni.
Himself 9 times, yeah. I didn't mention why, because
yes,
it might be controversial.
Yeah, you did.
It's a controversial topic. We don't want to freak out anybody. Right? Okay, we'll close that topic there. Well, if you have a nice wife like Devahuti.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for a nice class.
Hare Krishna.
It reminded me of when Prabhupada writes in the Srimad Bhagavatam about Narad Muni being cursed.
About what?
Narad Muni being cursed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then he says that, and he's also right. Seems like cursed, and then everybody else, all of his disciples are carrying that burden or that work. And I just wanted to add, know more from you, and if you had any comments on that. This is what
you
I vaguely remember.
I mean, Prabhupada said he was cursed because a lot of the parents cursed him because he was taking away their children to become devotees. So, I mean, Prabhupada, yeah, he had so many places he could live, but he couldn't stay in any of them because he had to travel constantly and preach. So, but his curse is a blessing. Like Lord Chaitanya, he was blessed or cursed to not have any, you know, material opulence. So that was a blessing.
And then I just wanted to add a comment. Your granddaughter showed up when you were giving the class, and I think that's a good omen that you should stay because she's such a nice devotee. And they're like,
well,
Panchatattva.
I like to have my cake and eat it too. I like to be able to travel when I want and come back when I want. So that's how it used to be. The last couple of years I got really stuck. Yeah. Well, you could take your home with you.
No, you can leave.
That's right. You can't take your 40 acres. I'm 239 with you. Okay, Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.